Bibleline, Bibleline, hear God's word on Bibleline, hear God's truth on Bibleline.
Welcome to Bibleline with Dr. Ralph Yankee Arnold, pastor of Calvary Community Church in Tampa, Florida, clearly declaring the gospel of Jesus Christ through the radio and the internet. Your regular prayers and monthly support make it possible for Bibleline to continue on the air. You can reach us toll-free at 1-800-576-3771. Online donations may be made by clicking on the donations link on the BibleLineMinistries.org homepage. We pray that you will enjoy our commitment to the clear gospel of Jesus Christ and that today's message will be a blessing to you and your family.
In the book of Philippians in chapter 1, let me give you a real, live, genuine insight into what serving the Lord is a little bit about. You won't realize the real battle until you've made up your mind that you're going to serve the Lord. See, you trust Christ as your Savior, that gives you eternal life, you're His child, you're going to heaven when you die. That's settled. Now you're God's child living in a sinful world. You've got a sinful nature. The devil is after you. There's trials, tribulations, temptations. How in the world can you enjoy life when it seems like everything is designed to keep you from being happy? And yet how many people, all their greatest goal is, let me be happy. But here in the book of Philippians in chapter 1, I want you to see there in verse 29. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ. In other words, on His behalf, God says, I've gotten something special that I want you to do. You are going to fight your will against God. Did you know that when you surrender your will to God's will, that's a form of suffering? Because it really hurts sometimes. There's a part of you that says, I want to do my own thing, go my own way, and I don't want God telling me what I can and cannot do. So many people, they go ahead and they just do whatever they want. But the person who wants to serve the Lord has to battle that. He has a battle that the person who gives in and becomes rebellious to God, he don't have to battle that. If you want to serve God, you have to always be battling. Because there's things that you don't want to give up. There's things that you want to be. There's places you want to go. There might be a lot of things, and you have to sacrifice all those things. Because you gave up your will, you will have to suffer the loss of that. And maybe what you could have had, maybe some of you sitting here could have been a millionaire, and you gave all that up to serve the Lord. But you are going to suffer. Now look what he says here in verse 29. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on Him, not only that, but also, and you need to underline these words in your Bible, suffer for His sake. Suffer for His sake. Why did God leave you here? For His sake. God wants you here in this world in an old body that's got all the problems with it so that if anything gets done, He has to get credit for it. Because you're going to battle and you've got all the pressures against you. And in your strength, you cannot do it. It is a struggle all your life. But if you don't do things because, well, I'm afraid this might happen. I'm afraid this might happen. Afraid. And you can let fear rob you of doing things that God would have had you do. Courage is nothing more than fear that says its prayers and goes ahead. Or you can let fear always cause you not to do something or step out by faith and trust God. Because some people are so afraid of failure, they never do anything for God. I would rather attempt and fail than not to attempt at all. The older I get, the more help I need. I have to admit that. Here in the book of Philippians in chapter 1, he also makes a statement in verse 30. Having the same, and here's another word I want you to underline in your Bible, the word called conflict. Conflict, which ye saw in me, now here to be in me. You are going to have conflict. Things that are going to try to stop you from doing what God wants you to do. You can always try to find the easy way out. You can always run from problems. We don't have to do anything. Don't worry about nothing. Just get in our own little world and box us in and just play safe. But think of what you miss out on. The opportunity to serve God and make an impression, some kind of an influence in this lifetime. And you don't have no other chance. This is one trip through life. I'm so thankful that God has allowed me at this point so far. Though I look in the mirror, it scares me to death. But there's still a little fire in the gut that says, I want to do something with my life. I don't want to sit down and grow old. I don't want to just become part of a recliner. I want to have a vision. I want to do something with my life, all the days of my life. In 1 Thessalonians in chapter 2, look there in verse 14. Verse 14. For ye, brethren, became followers of the churches of God which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. For ye also have suffered. You ought to underline those words. Ye also have suffered. And there's people who preach a health and wealth philosophy. That if you serve God, nothing wrong will ever happen to you. And you're supposed to always have wealth. That is not true. That is not the Bible. And you can suffer an awful lot of things for the Lord's sake. He says, for my sake, I want you to be willing to give up everything you have. When I trusted Christ as my Savior, I didn't give up anything. I simply trusted Him as my Savior. He saved me, gave me eternal life. Now, are you willing as a child of God? You might be willing to have to give up your health, and you may have to give up money, and you may have to give up a job, you may have to sacrifice in a lot of ways. Why? Because I want God to use me however He wants. I'm at His disposal. Now, He may not ask you to go to Africa, but you ought to be willing to go. He may not lead you to Siberia, but you ought to be willing to go. You should be willing to serve the Lord anywhere. And maybe it's just where you are and on a particular job, but you're going to serve the Lord wherever you are and doing whatever you're doing. But he makes a statement here in 1 Thessalonians, down here in verse 15, who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets. Now think about this. Jesus Christ was killed, and their own prophet, they killed them. Then he says, and have persecuted us, and they please not God and are contrary to all men. And then it says in verse 16, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they might be saved. I've had people tell me that you can't talk and you can't do this and you can't. Yes, I will. And suffer the consequences for it. But I have to be in my mind convinced. I am willing to suffer the consequences of obeying God. If you're not willing to suffer the consequences of obeying God, forget it, because you won't. Because the first person that says something hurts your feelings, you're gone. First time you think, well, if God really loved me, He wouldn't have let this happen to me. You might as well forget it. You don't understand serving God. What do you think serving God is? It is rough. It is a warfare. It is a battle. And so many people are running from the responsibility. We have a job to get done. And he says that the laborers are what? The few. Why are they few? Because God isn't worth serving? No, they fell in love with themselves. They fell in love with the world. And they forget all about what God wants them to do. And that's what God's Word is talking about. Look what he says there in verse 18. Wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but somebody hindered us. What does it say? Who hindered them? Satan. The devil is going to fight, and he's going to fight against you. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter and chapter 1. Look in verse 6. I want you to look, first of all, in verse 4. When you trusted Christ as your Savior, you were saved from something, from hell to heaven. So God gave me a place in heaven. And he says it's reserved in heaven for me. And he says this down in verse 4, to an inheritance that's incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for me. So I know I've got a place reserved for me in heaven. I'm going there. That can never be taken away. I got a reservation. Already got my tickets. Already been paid for. All I'm waiting for now is the transportation. And he's supposed to come any time now. So I'm just waiting on that. But until then, he says in verse 6, wherein ye greatly rejoice. Now see, I rejoice in that I know I'm saved. I'm kept by the power of God. I can never lose my salvation. I'm going to heaven whenever I die. I rejoice in that. I know that. But he says, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. You are going to have manifold testings and trials that are weigh you down. The devil is going to try to hinder you from serving God. The devil will use Christian people to discourage you and to say things that are cutting and just deadening and try to strip you of your desire to want to serve God. And one of the worst things in the world is Christians who won't serve God. They influence other Christians not to serve God because they're afraid that you're supposed to be afraid. If they won't step out, don't you step out. And you can't let somebody else's fears intimidate you so that you won't do what God wants you to do. So he makes a statement here in verse 7, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. You are going to be under great trials. God says, and your trial of your faith is more precious than gold, though it be tried with fire. Because gold is going to be destroyed. Gold won't be worth anything. Silver won't be worth anything. The money won't be worth anything. Well, what's better than money? What's better than being in the stock market right now anyway? What's the best? Serving God. Because God says, when I get a trial and I pass the test, I have laid up treasure in heaven that I cannot lose. You have to believe that if you want to serve God. If you don't believe that, you won't serve Him. But he says here, the last part of it might be found in the praise and honor and glory at the appearance of Jesus. Christ is coming. It will be worth it all. Look there in chapter 2 and verse 19. Chapter 2 and verse 19. We're talking about the greatest thing in all the world. After you trust Christ as Savior, there is nothing as great as serving God with all your heart, with all your life. For this is thanksworthy. If a man for conscience toward God, and you ought to underline this, endure grief, suffering wrongfully, it ain't fair. Who cares if life isn't fair? Does God know what's happening to you? Every trial, every tribulation, God knows. And God says that He's the one that keeps the books, and He said He's going to reward every man according to his own work. God knows what you have to face. He knows every hurt, every pain that you go through. And people won't know and they won't understand. They don't know the load you've got to bear. They don't know the pressures you've got to go through. They don't know the limitations you have in your knowledge and your character. They don't know what all that is. God does. And He won't wrong you. The Bible says God is not unrighteous to forget your labor of love. You see, for God to forget what you did for Him would be a sin. And that's in Hebrews in chapter 6, and God wouldn't do that. Look in verse 20. For what glory is it if when you be buffeted for your faults, you take it patiently? In other words, you did wrong and you took it patiently. Big deal. You did it. But if when you do well and you suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. In other words, learn patience. You're going to suffer wrongfully. People are going to say things that they should not say. And most of your problems from people is not going to come from the lost people. Most of the pressures upon Christians is from Christians. Christians are the ones that will destroy you faster than anybody else in this world. It's not the devil. It's not even your old sinful nature. It's Christians who won't serve God totally. Because if they don't and you do, you are rebuked to them and they're going to pull you down one way or the other. They've got to justify their lack of service, their lack of love. And it's a damaging thing. That's why God says, I wish you was either hot or cold, but being lukewarm, He said, makes me sick. Those are His word, by the way, not mine. But look there now in verse 21. For even hereunto were ye called. You were called. This is like, in other words, being, I was called into the ministry. You were called into the ministry of suffering. Suffering because you're going to take a stand for the Lord. You're going to try to serve God and do what's right. All right, now, that means because of that, you've got to fight your own will. You've got to fight that own lust and the desire to do whatever you want to do with your life. Like everybody else, they just go ahead and do it. But there's always going to be a handful of people, a handful, that'll make up their mind to serve God. I remember one time when I was down at camp, and there was about 1,500 kids in the auditorium. Ray Stanford had everybody stand up, and everybody stood up. He said, now I want everybody to sit down, except the first two rows. And everybody sat down except the first two rows. He says, now you two rows that are standing. In about 10 years, y'all will be the only ones left, probably that'll be serving the Lord. Representative. Not that these would, and they wouldn't. Just about this many out of all those people, out of 1,500. Which they had maybe 50 people, 100 people in those couple rows. And you're talking about how many people will fall by the wayside, one way or the other, because Satan's going to get this one and that one in different ways. Most people fall. But I'm talking about, can you serve God faithfully all your life? What does He mean to you? Are you still just playing a simple little game? No, you can come to church and you can put money in the plate, but I'm not, where's your heart? Do you really give until it hurts? Do you sacrifice? What have you really given up for God? What sufferings have you gone through for His sake, for His name, for His honor, for His glory. What do you really do for Him? Or is it because you get seen by somebody or somebody thinks well of you? Is it all a show? Just an image you've got to keep up. People expect me to do this. He makes a statement here in verse 21. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example. In other words, we have an example to follow. Did anybody say anything bad about Christ? Did anybody turn on Him? Even His own family? Brothers and sisters didn't even believe Him. Later they did. He was ridiculed, mocked, you name it, it happened to Him. That's why when you read the book of Hebrews in chapter 11, it says, when you get so tired and so weak and you're faint and you can't go on, He says, consider Him. Have you considered what He did and what He went through? He says, now I'm calling upon you to suffer for Me because I suffered for you. Now, will you serve Him? Now, nobody can make you. It's an individual thing. And the last part of it says that ye should follow His steps. Now, He didn't ask me to walk on water. He didn't ask me to raise the dead. He didn't ask me to feed the 5,000. But He did ask me to live like Him and to suffer like He did. And that means that you're going to be so misunderstood at times and people are going to turn against you and so forth. I suffer a lot of persecution for the simple reason of what I preach and the way that I preach. Not because of my love for the Lord. And that's why some people will come and some people will go. Because they don't like the way the Yankee said something, the way he's doing. But if you only knew my motive, if you really knew me and knew where I was coming from and why I do what I do, I wouldn't be such a bad guy. I'd do my dead level best to be as much like Jesus Christ as I know to be. I couldn't think of another preacher loving God more than what I do. I couldn't dare to think that somebody else would be more dedicated to God and want to accomplish more for God than what I do. But whatever accomplished is because God did it through my yieldedness. Because I can only do so much. I am just a man. That's all you are. But you want to be used by God. Let God use you. You'd be surprised what He would be able to accomplish. Look in chapter 3 and verse 13. Chapter 3 and verse 13. There's several verses here. Verse 13, 14, 16. But verse 13. Who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good? And you say, well, nobody. Oh, yes. There are a lot of people that want to harm you if you want to do that which is good. Verse 14. But, and if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. And be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. Don't worry. Put your confidence in the Lord. And God says that He'll protect and He'll provide. You say, what happens if you have a breakdown on the way down here? We have a breakdown on the way down here. Well, what are you going to do? Whatever we can. What if you get down to camp and this goes wrong? It goes wrong. Well, what are you going to do? Try to do the best we can. Trust the Lord. You see, some people are so afraid to cross the bridge. They're afraid to cross over. See, living by faith is walking on water. You can't always see the visible way in which God is going to work. You can't always touch and feel. Living by faith is all I got is God's Word. And I'm doing this for His honor, for His sake, and for His glory. I'm going to trust God to protect and provide. I'm going to give God that chance. You know what I told God one time, long time ago? I said, don't you ever expect me to stand in a pulpit and tell people that you'll supply their needs if you can't do it for me. I said, the Bible says that if a man doesn't provide for his own, he's worse than an infidel. And I'm your child. You wrote the verse. It applies to you too. You're my Father. Now, either my Father is my Father, and He is my God, and He did create the heavens and the earth, and He can protect, He can provide, or He can't. And if He can, then why can't I trust Him? Why can't I live by faith and see what God can do? Step out and see what's good. You know what I did? It is exciting to serve God. It is not a boring life. I always told the teenagers, don't be bored, serve the Lord. But if you're bored, you're not serving God. Serving God is exciting. It's dynamic. It's everything that you've ever wanted it to be. One day it'll even be glorious. Made a little praise and honor and great rewards. This life is only one trip through, no reruns. And then when you get to heaven, God says He's going to bless you when you get there and reward you. It'll be a great thing. Look there in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 13. The verse that I had just read to you, and then verse 14. And if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. Look now in verse 16. Having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you, as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good behavior in Christ. For it is better, if the will of God be so, and you ought to underline this in your Bible, that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. I would rather do well and do right and suffer for it than do wrong and suffer for it. I would rather serve God. And yes, there's a price to pay, and you may lose friendship, and you can lose a lot of people because you decide to take a stand. And the other verse here that makes a statement in verse 17, for it's better if the will of God be so, you suffer for well-being doing than for evil doing. Now chapter 4, verse 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you. What is serving God? Walking through a fiery trial. That's what it is. See, some people think, well, if I serve God, then that means He's just going to bless me, and it removes all my problems, and everything will be wonderful. My marriage will be happy. My kids will be wonderful. My job will be great. I have money in the bank. I have cars. I have this. I have that. I have security. Everything will be great. No! Not what it is. You're to serve God if He takes away your job, takes away your health, takes away your family, takes away everything you have. He said, if a man doesn't love me more than he loves mother and father and sister and brother and all these things, He said, he can't be my disciple. God says, you can't serve me if you love something better than me. You put something between you and God, and God will move it away from you. What happens when your wife is gone, or your husband is gone, and your kids are gone, and the grandkids are gone, and you have nothing left? Then their world falls apart. God said, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. You don't have to fall apart just because the world falls apart. He says this in verse 13. But rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when His glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad. When He shall be revealed, ye may be glad with exceeding joy. Right now you have to have grief, and you'll have suffering, and you're going to fight battles, and it's going to be rough. It's difficult. It's a warfare that you're involved in. And some people find it so difficult to be faithful. And God says that you will win in the long run. And when He returns, when He comes back, you'll be exceeding glad and filled with great exceeding joy. Awesome. Look there in 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy and chapter 3. Look in verse 10. When you think about a great man like the Apostle Paul, why was God able to use him in such a wonderful way? The Bible says God put a thorn in his flesh. I mean, something to buffet him, cause him problems all his life. And Paul says, that's not fair. No, he didn't say that. God says, my grace is sufficient. You'll just have to bear it. Live with it. He says, I asked the Lord 3 times to remove it, and God wouldn't do it. He says, my grace is sufficient. God left it there for a reason. Did you know that some of the problems and troubles that you have are for a reason? And God won't remove them all. And I don't know what your problem may be, but God may allow you to have a problem that seems like it never goes away. It's always there, and it's not going to go away. You're going to have to live the rest of your life with that problem. See what he says in chapter 3 and verse 12. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But he made this statement. He says, y'all have known my manner of life. You know my purpose, my doctrine. You know all these things about me. See that in verse 10? He said, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, patience, my persecutions, my afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra. What persecutions, you ought to underline this words, what persecutions I what? I endured. I endured. Do you know one of the things that disappoints me a lot of time? When I walk out of that office and I come up here and I look at the people that are not in service. Why don't most of God's people, why can't they be faithful? Oh, I'm not talking about the ones that are in the hospital. I'm not talking about the ones that are sick. I'm not talking about just people on vacation. I'm talking about just people in general that can't be faithful. You never depend on them. Does that bother me? Yes, it bothers me. I'm a human individual. I'm flesh and blood. I care. My heart bleeds. I cry. I hurt for people because I know what it's costing them. They're going to be so filled with regret when they get to heaven and find out what they could have done and what they forfeited. And I want them to stand there in heaven and get everything God wanted them to have. And I'm going to find that they're going to be stripped of everything but His grace. Saved, but they lost their life. Yeah, that hurts me. Because I care more about them than they do themselves. I call that love. And sometimes when I'm hard, I'm hard. Because I care about what they're doing with their life. It's not a game to me. There's a lot of preachers, you can find them, they play games. All they want is your money or your membership. And there's a lot of them around. And their churches will be full. Because everything's so generalized. Nobody knows what in the world has been said or what's been done. Nothing's expected of them. Nobody's raked over the coals. Nobody's burned. Do whatever you want to do. Just keep coming and giving you money. I guess I want more than that. I want more for you. Look there in verse 13. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Verse 14. But continue thou. Those three words, just underline it. But continue thou. You start. Continue. Stay at it. It's always a battle. Always at it. Before we close, look in James chapter 1. My brethren, in chapter 1, verse 2 says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. God wants to build you strong. The trials and the hardships of life is God's way of blessing you so that it draws you closer to the Lord, so that you'll ask for wisdom and you'll gain wisdom and you'll be able to have the patience that you need to endure the hardness. So God has a wonderful plan. Does He? Yes, He does. God has a wonderful plan for your life. Man, that struck me when I heard God has a plan for my life. I wonder what it is. I wonder what He wants me to do. I wonder what He wants me to be. I wonder where He wants me to go. God has a plan for me. Just me. I want to find what it is. I want to know what is God's plan for my life. So as a child of God, you begin to yield yourself to the Word of God, and God begins to reveal. And by getting involved and doing what you can with what you have, where you are, God begins to open up doors. And you don't know where it's going to lead to, but I'll tell you this. It's a wonderful world out there. It's a wonderful walk with God. And even though the lions and the snakes and the bears and everything's trying to destroy you, you know that your Heavenly Father's got you all protected, and you can just walk right through anything. Some through the waters, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. And you got to go through it. And you can endure it. You can do it.
Are you a new listener to Bible Line? Do you enjoy the teachings of Dr. Arnold? Well, if you've never contacted us before, we want to give you Dr. Arnold's book, The Gospel-Driven Man. Every day we receive many emails from folks who have questions about repentance and salvation, about faith and works, and about how to share the gospel with friends and loved ones. This book, The Gospel-Driven Man, covers all those topics, and we want all new listeners of Bible Line to receive a free copy. There's no obligation, no donation necessary. Simply call us at 1-800-576-3771 or write to us and request your free copy of The Gospel-Driven Man. The mailing address is 4811 George Road, Tampa, Florida, 33634. Again, don't forget to include your mailing address. And God bless you and thank you for listening to Bible Line.
Thanks for joining us on Bible Line. If you are in the area, we welcome you to visit us. The address for Calvary Community Church is 4811 George Road, Tampa, Florida, 33634. And now, a closing thought from Pastor Arnold.
Friend, one day it will happen. The trumpet will sound, and we will be changed, caught up to meet the Lord in the air. So live today and every day, believing that the Lord is coming soon. Just keep looking up.